Good morning once again, everyone. The morning Dhamma talks we like to devote to the technique of the meditation, and the evening talks to the philosophical background, so to speak. So this morning I'll talk a little more about the meditation techniques that we are practicing. And earlier on we already talked about the metta bhavana as a way of calming your mind, making skillful thoughts and good vibrations coming into your mind, and even affecting the environment, the psychosphere, so to speak, when you are wishing yourself to be free from the negativities and full of well-being and happiness, and then on to others. So that we have been practicing as a kind of preparation at the beginning of almost every sitting, and that leads to some form of tranquility and happiness within you. So who doesn't want to be happy, basically? All beings basically want to be happy, unless there's something wrong with you, I suppose. So the other technique that we have been mentioning is the anapanasati bhavana, the meditation on the development of mindfulness of in and out breathing, being aware of your breath. And there I had given that simile of the saw, the carpenter who is sawing a piece of wood, and you are not going to go with your head back and forth with the saw, but focusing on the point of touch where the saw cuts the plank, so to speak. And with the awareness of the breathing, it is also like that. Now, sometimes you may become aware of your lungs expanding or your chest expanding or your belly rising and falling when you are breathing, and that's also okay. But it is a good idea to try and focus on one point, and that is where the air actually touches. And maybe you have noticed that when it is cool in the morning, you can feel the cool air touching, and when you're breathing out, the air is warmer. That is one kind of awareness of breathing also. Otherwise, just the subtle sensation of that touch inside the nostril is also good enough. And another thing that you would have noticed is probably that the mind just doesn't want to stay there. Most of the time it will want to wander. It's been probably wandering for zillions of years, and to stop it all of a sudden from wandering is an almost impossible task. So you should not be too harsh on yourself and think that your meditation is going for a six if you're not able to focus on the breathing. Fortunately, we also have other objects that we can become aware of. And so far, for starters, so to speak, we have been trying to focus on the breath, partly to increase the span of attention on one chosen object, your power of concentration, so to speak. But on the other hand, it is not only to be able to fix your attention on the breathing, but even more important than that is to have mindfulness or awareness as much as possible from moment to moment. So that is something I would like to mention in the Satipatthana Sutta, or the Discourse on the Development of Mindfulness. The Buddha is mentioning four foundations of mindfulness. And one is the awareness of the body. And the breath is very much part of the body. But it is also not only... Sorry. It is also not only body, it is also sort of related or correlated to the state of mind that you're in, as I already mentioned earlier, that when you are calm and quiet, your breath is probably very smooth and shallow. When you're agitated, angry, or fearful, then you may find your breath hectic. So the focusing of your mindfulness on the breathing can help to calm your mind. But then if you find that it is not wanting to focus on the breath and you become upset about it, then it's just like counterproductive in a way. You become more restless or disappointed if you are judging that fact. But if you are accepting it, then realize that that is the nature of your mind. And basically, I think the nature of everybody's mind, that there are a lot of things happening in that mind. And the art of the meditation would be not to get flustered by them, not to get attached to one thing that is pleasant and averse to another thing that's unpleasant, but to see them for pleasant and plus unpleasant as they are, and to have that equanimity or even-mindedness towards them. Not that negative attitude of, oh, I don't care, but even-mindedness is a positive kind of quality. And that is one thing to handle the other objects of our mindfulness, or the foundations of mindfulness. Body can be also seen in different ways, like when you become aware of your sitting, like we do at the very beginning. And when we are standing, be aware of your standing. When you're walking, be aware of your walking. When you're eating, be aware of your eating. That is all a kind of mindfulness of the body. And the breath is also part of the body, and the Anapanasati comes under mindfulness of body. But then the Buddha goes on and says there's mindfulness of feelings. Vedana nusati, it is called in Pali language. The first part, body mindfulness, is kaya nusati. And Vedana nusati is mindfulness of the feelings. Now, feelings are generally divided into physical feelings and mental feelings. Pleasant and unpleasant, neutral physical feelings, and pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral mental feelings. Mental feelings would be like emotions, and physical feelings would be like sensations, sensations in the body, bodily sensations. So that could be, for instance, feeling of touch, feeling different kinds of sensations like itches, or warmth, or cold, or pressure, or something like that, tingling sensations in your body. All that can be observed as a kind of technique of body and feeling awareness. So there's one technique which is being used by Mr. S.N. Goenka in his Vipassana meditation courses, and in different centers and different teachers may be using slightly different techniques, but I would like to introduce that sweeping the body meditation technique, which is to feel the different sensations throughout your body in a systematic way, starting from the top of your head and going down one side of the head, again to the other side of the head, then the front, the back, down the chest and the back, and the legs all the way to the toes. In about, half an hour to 40 minutes, one can cover that area under guidance. That would be another guided meditation. And I think it may be a good idea to start doing that when we finish the Dhamma talk around 9:30. The guided sweeping the body meditation. That is to introduce you to the fact that, if you haven't known it yet, that there are sensations throughout your body. And when you focus on them, you will feel them more clearly. And when you're not focusing on them, you might not feel them, unless they call your attention. If there's a strong sensation, like a pain somewhere, then your mind goes there. But if you steer your mind sort of under guidance throughout your body from top to toe, then you can see how everywhere you look, there is some kind of sensation, sometimes strong, sometimes weak, sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant, and it comes and it goes. It's not like one sensation, but rather an arising and a falling of different momentary sensations. And those sensations are basically conditioned by your body and what it experiences at that time. So the sensation is not really me, mine, or my own, it's just a sensation. But usually we call it my pain in the knee or my pain in the back. Oh, this pain, you know, I want to get rid of the pain, and that sort of thing. But when it is observed in a neutral way, and sometimes it depends, it's not done so much during the sweeping the body meditation, but when you are meditating and you get some pain somewhere, you can use another technique which is called labeling the thing, labeling the feeling, and realizing it's just feeling, 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 so that you don't get into that mode of, ayo, this feeling, or what such a bad feeling, or what a nice feeling, or something like that. But just feeling, feeling, feeling. And as I mentioned earlier also, you could befriend that feeling, especially if it's an unpleasant feeling. You know, with friendly feelings or pleasant feelings, it's very easy to befriend, but with unpleasant feelings, it's a little bit difficult, but to let go of that resistance and then see what happens when you really are with that feeling, sometimes you might see it dissolve in front of your eyes. So, in the sweeping the body meditation, usually we don't sort of label it, but from time to time that's also possible, just feeling, feeling. But basically it's just watching with your mental eye the arising and the passing of the different sensations throughout your body. And it may happen, for instance, when we're guiding and I'm sort of at your left ear, that you may get a pain in your back, and that is predominant, it calls your attention. So if you would be sitting alone and doing this without guidance, then you might stay with that feeling in the back for a longer time, but my voice might go and then down the left side of your neck to the shoulder, for instance. Then you can try to get back to that area which is being shown in the guidance. Unless, of course, there's a very strong feeling and you can't, but just be aware of it. And but it is maybe a good idea to try and get back to the guided point where you are and then see what's happening in those areas. So just like when you are very much absorbed in something that you're doing, you may not be much aware of your surroundings. Similarly, when you are paying more attention to one area in your body, you may not be aware of the other parts of the body. But that is just because your concentration or your number of mind moments that are being filled are focused on one particular part, and the others sort of recede in the background. So that sweeping the body meditation is a technique that in the 10-day meditation retreats a la Goenka are being practiced from day 4. You know, this is a very structured kind of meditation course which has been going on for the last 40 years or something like that, and in about 150 Vipassana centers around the world, exactly the way that it was and is and will maybe ever remain. Because it is in, to a large number of students, usually 100 to 200 in one course, and Goenka is doing the teaching on a tape, basically, because he's now very old and they play the instructions through a videotape, not even a comma has changed in the, you know, the teachings. But in real life, I suppose that things turn out to be slightly different, and you may experience your sweeping the body in a different way than it goes in the videotaped recording, for instance. But never mind, it is just an introduction to being aware of the different sensations, to see also the changeability, you know, the impermanence of Vedana, for instance. Sometimes when we are sick, for instance, you know, then we feel, oh, this is, you know, I'm sick forever. And when you're better again, you completely forget about your sickness. You don't see the impermanence of both sides even. And especially in the sickness, you might think it's more permanent than it really is. So when you learn to deal with these impermanent sensations, and also with the pleasant and the unpleasant with equanimity, then you may be freer in your mind towards different kinds of sensations. And this is like we are practicing this in a kind of voluntary laboratory situation, you could say. You know, it is like just experimenting with these Vedanas, with these feelings. And sometimes in real life you may have a situation where you do have pain because you have a wound or something, or after a fall or something like that. Then it's also quite useful to be able to face these different sensations and keep equanimity and maybe befriend yourself with it. So in that case, I'm just wondering whether you would like to move a little bit to one side, because you're sitting like this the whole time. I hope you don't get a stiff neck. Maybe come a little bit closer. Yeah. So, insights that you get also are part and parcel of the mindfulness training. It's not just a matter of, you know, being aware of those sensations, but also of the characteristics of those sensations, the changeability, and then the unsatisfactory nature of feelings in general, and also the non-self nature. These are not me, mine, or my own, although my feelings are not your feelings, but if they were really mine, I should be able to keep them exactly the way I want, and that never happens. So therefore, it's not really me, mine, or my own in the absolute sense. So even there, in the observation of the Vedana Nusati Bhavana, as it is called, you get insights into the three characteristics of all conditioned existence. So it is part and parcel of Vipassana meditation. And Vipassana meditation you could call Satipatthana Bhavana. It's the same thing. Actually, Vipassana or insight would be the result of the practice of Satipatthana Bhavana, of the practice of mindfulness. You're practicing mindfulness and the result is that you're getting insights. So when you say, I'm practicing insight meditation, well, that's a general term, Vipassana meditation, but still it may lead to insight, and it is used also officially as a term as opposed to the tranquility meditation. But I would say to practice mindfulness and then get the insights is more correct. So maybe that would do for a little bit of putting it into context of the four foundations of mindfulness. I could mention briefly the other two, and we can go into them later on also. But to be aware of the mind is another one. To be aware of your state of mind, to be aware of thinking, for instance, that is already something that we have been mentioning from the beginning, but we can work it out more in detail later on. To be aware of whether your mind is concentrated or scattered, whether it is going here and there, or whether it is in one place, and whether there's anger or greed, all those kind of things are also part of the meditation, and that is what we call awareness of mind, cittanupassana or cittanusati. And then there's the fourth foundation, which is called dhammanusati, the awareness of the dhammas, and that is even more complex and sometimes overlaps a bit with the cittanupassana, with the mind awareness, because a lot of things in the fourth foundation have to do with mind. Sometimes they're called being aware of mind objects, but it's not just objects of the mind, it's also like to be aware of the characteristics of change, unsatisfactoriness, and non-self. But rather than getting into all those details now, we will do that little by little. We have more time to go over these separate sort of sections of the development of mindfulness, and then we can concentrate on one thing at a time. So I would say, if you have any questions regarding this, that may be also just possible at the moment. It will become, of course, clear during the practice itself, and then based on that you may have questions later on. I will be in a few minutes starting that meditation, guided meditation on the sweeping of the body. But perhaps if you feel it's a good idea, we can do a little bit of standing and then sit down again, so that the sitting will be more comfortable.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.